Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
I want to direct some thoughts to all of our young people who are in school to give you some basic biblical principles to pray about. But these principles are not just for those in school. These principles to pray about apply to those who are younger, those who are older, and those who are in between. So we'll get to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, but before we do, as we always do, let's ask God for his blessing as we go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for the day, and thank you that we have this opportunity to come together. And it's a special day, Father, because I know we have so many students, children who are going to be going back to school. We have a lot of adults here today who work or volunteer in the school system. And Lord, I just pray your blessing be upon them as we talk about some principles that I think will help everybody as we reflect upon this new school year. So Lord, would you please bless your word as we open its truth? Use me in a way that will be helpful and encouraging to all who are here. And we're going to give you all the praise in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. I recently came across a few quotes from children relating to their time in school and thought I would share them with you. Now, I'm sure some of you teachers and others who work daily in a school somewhere can identify with some of these quotes and probably have some memories of your own that you could share. First, it was one little girl's first day at school, and the teacher was making out her registration card. Now, that tells you how long ago this has been. "What's your father's name?" she asked. The little girl replied, "Daddy." "Well, yes, I know it's Daddy, but what does your mother call him?" "Oh, she don't call him anything. She likes him." That's pretty good. Little Mary was just home from her first day at school and was asked by her mother, "Honey, what did you learn today?" "Not much," replied Mary. "I've got to go back tomorrow." And here's my favorite. On young Johnny's first day of school, the class was to put their right hands over their hearts and repeat the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, the teacher watched as the children started the pledge. "I pledge allegiance to the flag," and she stopped because she noticed Johnny's right hand over the left side of his rear end. She said, "Johnny, I am not going to continue until you put your hand over your heart." Johnny very sincerely replied, "But ma'am, it is over my heart." After several attempts to get Johnny to put his hand over his heart, the teacher then asked, "Why do you think that is your heart?" Johnny said, "Because when my granny visits, she picks me up, pats me here, and says, 'Bless your little heart,' and my granny doesn't lie." Well, that's a pretty good one. I'm sure as we reflect on our days in school, there are many memories we can draw upon. Some good ones, some not so good, some funny, others sad. But today, let's all reflect on three principles that students need to have, whether you're a student attending a school or you are a student of life, which all of us are. So here's principle number one. Submit to all in authority. That means obey them. Here's what Proverbs 1, 8 and 9 tells us. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not ignore your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful wreath to your head and necklaces for your neck." While the context of these verses relate to obeying parents, as we shall see, the Bible tells us that this attitude of submission is to be found toward all who have positions of authority over us. Now, as I thought about that, I began to reflect on my past. And one thing that I learned the hard way is this. It is very difficult to submit to those in authority, whether it's our parents, our teachers, our bosses, if you aren't paying attention. One boy said to his father, "Dad, the principal said for me to invite you to a small meeting at the school." Dad said, "How small is the meeting, son?" The boy replied, "Well, it's you and me and the principal." The point is, if you don't pay attention in school, you could be asked to attend a meeting like that one, and I can tell you, I attended a few meetings like that, and I didn't like it very well. Something else happened to me that wasn't very good. In the summer between my junior and senior year, I had just bought that summer a 1968 Chevrolet Biscayne. And I was driving down Sharon Avenue, and I was coming home with my friend, Marty Jones, and we had a double date on this Friday night. And as we were coming home, I was coming down towards Roseville from getting into Zanesville. And when you're on 146 going into Zanesville on Sharon Avenue, you start down the hill. And then back then, and I don't know if it's the same today, but back then, when you got to the bottom of the hill, cars began to park on the side in front on Sharon Avenue. They didn't do it as you're going down the hill, so you had to kind of veer to the left a little bit. So I was talking to Marty, and I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at him, and I'd driven down Sharon Avenue many times. I got to the bottom of the hill, and all of a sudden, I looked back to the road. Boom! I ran smack into the back of a parked car at 35 miles an hour. 4 years of mowing down the drain. That $300 I spent for that car, I'd worked 4 years to save total. But what was most concerning to me was Marty, my friend. So I looked over and he went forward and I thought he hit his head on the rearview mirror. And I said, Marty, are you all right? He looked dazed and he looked at me and he said, yeah, I'm fine. Boom. His head went over like that. I thought I killed the guy. I mean, I was really upset. Well, here's the reason I'm sharing that story. Not only do we need to pay attention to the road when we're driving, we need to pay attention to those in authority. And that is especially true when it comes to the teachers who are trying to help you learn something. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. The Lord wants you to obey human authorities. Parents, school teachers, Sunday school teachers, the police, your boss. Because when you don't pay attention to human authorities, or when you don't obey them, you are asking for trouble. And this attitude of submission ought to start at home. So listen to me, all you young men and ladies who are still living at home today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What happens to you when you don't pay attention to what your parents say? Well, I can only speak for myself. I know what happened to me when I was young. I got into big trouble with my mom. I got in even a bigger trouble with my dad. Let me tell you a story about that. When I was 12 years old, my dad worked driving a cement truck, and he was my little league baseball coach. And it had rained very hard the night before, and he woke me up before he went to work. He said, hey, he said, we got a ball game tonight. He said, I'm going to just do one run today, and I'm going to be coming home late morning. And I want you to go up to the park, and we're going to have to work on the diamond so we can play tonight. I said, okay, Dad. So I got up. I rode my bike up to the park. Well, my buddies were playing basketball at the basketball court, which is about 200 yards from the baseball field. So I started playing basketball with my friends. Well, my dad came up in the pickup, and he honked his horn, and I waved at him, and he's going like this, like, come on, let's get to work. Well, I kept playing basketball with my friends. About an hour and a half later, here comes the pickup. My dad parks the car in the lot, walks onto the basketball court, never said a word, took his right foot, kicked me in the rear end. He said, get home right now. I knew what that meant. That was the longest bike ride I think I ever had going home. I got there, and he was waiting in the yard with his belt, and I got it pretty good. That was the last time I ever received that at 12 years old because I finally learned my lesson, I think. But that's what happened. I paid the penalty for not paying attention and not obeying my dad. Paying attention to those who have authority in your life will pay off for you. I believe God will bless you for paying attention and obeying those who are authorities in your life. So I want to look again at verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 1. The point of this verse is, submitting to parental authority brings to us the added beauty of godly character. Because whenever we submit to the instruction of our parents, the Bible says, for they are a graceful wreath to your head and necklace for your neck. Now, what King Solomon is saying is that obeying parental instruction would adorn them and give them, or you, attractiveness in life. Wreaths were often placed upon heads for athletic success to honor them. And just like it is today, many women enjoy putting on some jewelry or makeup to enhance their beauty. And there's nothing wrong with that. But a beauty that is far more important than any physical ornament that you can wear is the internal beauty of character that is found in obeying godly instruction and teaching. So the first principle that we need to learn, that we need to pray about, is that we must submit to all in authority, and that simply means to obey them. Second principle, we need to stand up to peer pressure, and that simply means don't give in. Look at verse 10, very plain and clear here. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. In other words, don't be tempted by sinners or listen when they say, come on now, come on. Come on, let's do this. Even if it's wrong, no one's going to find out. People say that to you, don't do it. Don't do something just because everyone else or the majority is doing it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, the Apostle Paul said, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Another translation says, don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. If nothing else, they'll get you in trouble. It was Ben Franklin who once said, he who lies down with dogs shall rise up with fleas. If you don't want fleas, don't play with dogs that have them. If you don't want to take the Lord's name in vain, don't run around with people who do. If you don't want to get into trouble, don't run around with troublemakers. It was George Washington who is reported to have said, associate with men of good quality if you care about your reputation, for it's better to be alone than in bad company. One time a spider built a beautiful web in his old house, and he kept it clean and shiny so that the flies would come in. And the minute he got a customer, he would clean up on him so that the other flies wouldn't get suspicious. One day, a so-called intelligent fly came buzzing by the clean spider web. An old man spider came out and said, come on in, sit with me. But the intelligent fly said, no, sir, I don't see any other flies in your house, and I'm not going to go there alone. Well, soon after that, he saw on the floor below a large crowd of flies dancing around on a piece of brown paper. He was delighted. He wasn't afraid anymore because there were lots of other flies there. So he came in for a landing. And right before he landed, Mr. Bee zoomed by and said, listen, Mr. Fly, don't be stupid. That's fly paper. But the fairly intelligent fly shouted back, don't be silly. Look at all those flies dancing and having a good time. That's a big crowd. That many flies just couldn't be wrong. Well, you can guess the rest of the story. That so-called intelligent fly was not so intelligent after all. So to all of our younger ones here today, let me say, be smart. Some people will try to tempt you in very clever ways. Don't give in to the pressure. Don't give in to those temptations to do wrong. Think before you do something. And don't always follow the crowd. And then remember this, being accepted is not worth compromising your faith. And that's something we all need to learn. When I started thinking about temptations that our young people face today, I'm sure a lot of them aren't unlike temptations I faced, but I happen to believe there's even more today that young people are facing. I mean, yes, we still have drugs around and alcohol and bad language and bad movies and sexual relationships going on, premarital sexual relationships. Those are all dangerous things to get involved in. Most of the time, when a person decides to follow any temptation, it can be traced back to the desire to fit in. So to the parents here today, never underestimate the power and the dangers of your child's need for acceptance, the need to fit in. It's that dreaded feeling of being the only one at a lunch table or being in a room where you don't know anyone and no one seems to be interested in talking to you. You see, relationships are a huge part of the way that God made us. We are made to interact and the fear of being alone or different from the crowd can drive a child, especially a teenager, to do things that are entirely contrary to their nature and personality and what they know is right. Now, this is not a new problem, and it is not unique among teenagers, as many adults struggle with their identity and how they fit in certain places and situations. The entire Old Testament is a case study in a longing for acceptance by the nation of Israel, and in many cases, their willingness to do anything to fit in with the nations that were surrounding them. God had promised them their own land. He had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. He had put them into a position where they were surrounded by pagan nations, and they had the opportunity to be a great light in that darkness. And he said, I don't want you messing around with what these other nations are doing. However, 2 Kings 17, verse 15, talks about one of the many times that Israel compromised her beliefs and took the easy road of trying to blend in with the other nations. Here's what the Bible says. They rejected God's statutes or laws and his covenant, which he had made with their fathers, and his warnings, which he gave them, and they followed idols and became empty and followed the nations that surrounded them, about which the Lord had commanded them not to do as they did. So they bowed to peer pressure by following worthless idols, and because of it, they became worthless or empty. They imitated the nations around them, although God had ordered them, do not do as they do. But they did the things God had forbidden them to do. 1 Peter 2, beginning verse 11, says, Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation. When the people that you come in contact with see a consistency between what you say and what you do, it will have an influence on them, even if it takes to when Jesus comes back. And if you have an attitude that doesn't change with a bad hair day, or if someone calls you a name that is not too flattering, then they will be drawn to Jesus and his life-changing love through their encounter with you. So choose your friends wisely. Decide now what you believe and where you stand, or the people that you spend your time with will decide it for you. So the second principle we need to ask God's help with is to stand up to peer pressure and don't give in. Final principle I want to address is one that shouldn't be a problem with Christians, but I think it's becoming more and more of a problem today. And it's simply this: we need to pray that we will serve Jesus as the Lord of our lives. The Lord of your life, the Lord of my life, not just our Savior. I say, well, what do you mean by that, Sam? Well, there's more and more people today in the culture in which we live in that want all the blessings of salvation without the commitment of taking Jesus as Lord. 1 Peter 3:15 says, But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That word means master or ruler. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. That word sanctify means to set apart, to make holy, to honor. Peter is challenging us all to honor Jesus by setting him apart as having first place in our lives. Colossians 1:18, Paul wrote, He is also, speaking of Jesus, the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. See, it's one thing to have Jesus as our Savior. It's quite another to also make him our Lord. One Sunday school teacher was trying to encourage a neighbor boy to attend Sunday school. She told him he would learn how to be a good boy. He said, well, there's no use of me going to Sunday school because I already know how to be a better boy than I am. Most of us probably already know how to be better people than we are. But I think when we come together and assemble together as Christians, when we open up God's word and we study together, whether it's from preaching or teaching or groups, whatever it might be, I believe that helps us become better people. I was doing some reading this week. I remember reading. How many remember ever hearing about John Dillinger? Anyone? Way back in the 1930s, John Dillinger was the most notorious criminal in the United States. He was a brutal thief. He was a cold-blooded murderer. I did some research this week. In a 10-month period, from September 1933 to July 1934, he and his violent gang terrorized the Midwest. They killed 10 men. They wounded 7 others. They robbed banks, and they even robbed a police arsenal of their weapons. But as I read about his story, it has been considered by some that maybe his life would have been different if some parents had been more understanding and compassionate. Here's what happened. When he was a boy, John Dillinger was arrested for minor crimes and he was placed on probation. The judge that placed him on probation told John and his parents, "What I think John needs is to go to Sunday school." Back in the 1930s. So he did. His parents started taking him to Sunday school. But the parents of the other students in the class protested and said they were going to leave the church and leave the class if he didn't get out of there. They didn't want him in the class. So John Dillinger dropped out. He never returned. 20 years later, he was number one on the list of the most wanted criminals in the United States. Now, I don't know what would have happened if he had gone to Sunday school and church and he continued that path. But the point is, he wasn't allowed to go because people didn't want him there. How sad and cruel that is. You see, the most important education you can get in life is found in things like Sunday school and church and small groups and Bible studies and church camps. You know why? Because you learn about Jesus. And Jesus is the one who can make all of us a better person. But Jesus does even more than make us better people. He saved us from our sins, and he promises to give us a home in heaven when we believe in him and trust in him. The smartest people in the world are those who make Jesus Lord of their lives. And that's what we all need to do. Yet it never ceases to amaze me when I hear some of the excuses that I hear from children as well as adults as to why they aren't involved in serving the church in some way. Why they aren't using their God-given gifts and talents to strengthen and build up the kingdom of God. By far, the most popular excuse that I personally have heard is that, generally speaking, it's this. Well, there's just some things in my life I need to get straight first. I just need to get some things straight in my life before I can start serving the Lord. Then I'll be ready. Listen, our adversary, Satan, would love to convince you that until your life is perfect, you are of no use to God. That's what he wants you to think. Now think about that for a moment. If that were the case, no one would be in ministry. Churches would close one after another all over the world. Because the beauty of what our God did for us lies in the fact that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And while we are still yet imperfect, incomplete, and at times unreliable, God still uses us. How awesome is that? So many young people today waste their high school and college years. They miss the opportunity to serve God because they say, I'm just not quite ready yet. And there are many adults here who have done the same thing and used the same excuse. Listen, God's commands and God's plans do not have an age limit. Serve him now. And whether you use the excuse, I'm too young to get involved in the work of the church, or you're using the excuse that you're waiting for God to make you stronger or perfect, those are excuses that God will not accept. They will keep you from any time getting the work done that God wants you to do. So get involved with the work of the church. Serve him now. And remember what Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Jesus Christ. God will finish the work he has begun in you, but it takes each bump, it takes each setback along the way to teach us how to serve and give to others. So don't wait another minute until you allow God to begin his work in your life. So let me say this to all of you who are in school, whether it's elementary school, middle school, high school, or college. He wants you to be the one who begins to turn things around so that some adults who look at you will see the errors of their ways and begin to follow your lead as we turn our world back to God. And I appreciate those of you who are doing that today. I want to close in this way. A few years ago, there was, and this is a true story, 9-year-old boy robbed a bank in New York City. 9 years old. Can you imagine that? Well, I guess today I can't imagine that because it happened. That 9-year-old boy was 4 feet 9 inches tall and weighed 90 pounds. He is reported to be the youngest bank robber in history. But I often wonder when I read stories like that. Maybe if someone had prayed a back-to-school prayer for him, maybe he wouldn't have robbed that bank. If he possibly would have learned to submit to those in authority, to stand up to peer pressure, to serve Jesus as his Lord as well as his Savior, then maybe, just maybe, he would have thought twice before doing what he did. But then we could all say that about some things we have done, can't we? If Jesus is not your Savior and your Lord, he can be today. If you just believe in him, trust in him, obey him, live for him, make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, and then watch him work in your life.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.